a person retires because he's tired of what he's doing. I'm not.
Old age isn't so bad.
85. It's just a number.
I can do just about anything you mentioned.
I could do them just as well as I did 30 years ago.
Well, what would I get out of retiring?
We're beginning a new series of discussions this morning on The Takeaway, a series of conversations with some of America's most fascinating elder statesmen, you might say. Older Americans, long past what we think of as retirement age, who are nonetheless still working, still doing whatever it was that they started doing decades ago, and we're calling this series In My Experience. We're going to kick off the discussion with the philosopher, civil rights reformer, author Grace Lee Boggs. 95 years old, spent most of her life fighting social and economic injustice alongside famous activists like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. Today, still active in the social justice movement, still writing books in her adopted hometown of Detroit, Michigan. And even though she's in her ninth decade of life, the author of a new book, The Next American Revolution, Sustainable Activism for the 21st Century. Grace Lee Boggs joins us in the studio. Good morning, and thanks for coming in.
I'm glad to be here.
You know, I have to ask you, first of all, sustainable activism is a term I don't think I've ever heard before. What do you mean by sustainable activism?
Well, I think the idea of planetary collapse and how we sustain ourselves and life is very much at the top of the agenda for our generation, for your generation particularly. And when it was not that way when I became a radical 70 years ago and thought in terms of revolution, I had no idea that the revolution would be about creating sustainability, that it would be about rescuing, saving life on Earth, actually, because that was not the consciousness. We're going to change the social system. We're going to get rid of racism. We're going to get rid of war and all that sort of thing. But the idea that we would have to do things in terms of changing the way we lived in order to survive, in order to make it possible for all living things to survive, that was not in people's minds.
Let's talk a little bit about looking back over some of your experiences. I mean, you're the daughter of Chinese immigrants. You have a PhD in philosophy in 1940. But what's interesting is at the time, the only job you could get, you've said, is working in a library for $10 a week. Why?
Well, you know, even Macy's in 1940 would come right out and say, "We don't hire Orientals." So the idea that a woman or an Oriental would get a job teaching in the university was very far-fetched. It never occurred to me that would happen.
You then became deeply involved in civil rights. What's interesting, though, is that many of the civil rights activists you work with weren't Asian, like yourself, but were African-American. How did that happen?
Well, you know, Asians in those days were invisible. We were so few in numbers. And I think the black struggle, the struggle of African Americans, was what preoccupied people. People understood that that was what had been part of American history, and of that that was the real wrong that needed to be corrected. And so, beginning with World War II, the idea of just getting a job in the defense plant for African Americans was to make a life. And I joined the African American struggle because A. Philip Randolph led a march, or proposed a march on Washington in 1941, which forced FDR to issue Executive Order 8802 to ban discrimination in defense plants. And that began to change life for African Americans, and when I saw that a movement could do that, that's what I decided I wanted to do.
Well, let me ask you about the new book that you've written, in which you're yet again talking about revolution, and it's kind of surprising to me that you see in the country right now fertile ground, perhaps, for a reset, a refresh, and maybe an opportunity for a revolution of a new kind. What do you mean?
Well, I'm amazed at the sort of hunger for fundamental change that is here in the country. I think people know that a great change is underway. They don't know what form it's going to take. But the idea that it's on the way, that it's next, and that it's going to take a very different form in this country, and that it begins with a concept that's very American, that we have to create the world anew, and that we begin with the power within ourselves to do that. The idea of revolution in that sense is not, I think people are hungering for it. And the idea that it's not taking state power, the recognition that the 20th century has taught us that taking state power ends up without becoming part of the state.
You mean going into politics corrupts?
Yeah. And the idea that we have to make a revolution in a very different way, I think it's really catching on.
But it's very different from the movements that you began earlier on in your career.
Yeah,
and to that end, I mean, let's say you had an enthusiastic 25-year-old come to you and say, how do I change my country? How do I do what you did?
Well, for most of the, when I joined the movement and became a radical, the Russian Revolution was the model, and people argued about the Russian Revolution. The idea that in the 21st century, no one would want to emulate the Russian Revolution would never have occurred to me in those days.
Look back over your own career and tell me, if you had the opportunity to speak to the Grace Lee Boggs of age 50, what would you tell her?
You got a long way to go. I mean, it's really, at 50, I felt very young. At 95, I feel quite elderly. But I feel very great and very good about the fact that I've lived for so long and lived through the 20th century and am now part of the 21st.
Who do you think you're going to hand your baton off to? Who's the next generation of radicals?
Well, they're all around me in Detroit. Detroit is a fantastic city.
I agree.
Because, I mean, it has a historical and sociological meaning that few other cities have. It was at one time the symbol, national and international, of the miracles of industrialization. And now people come from all over the world to see how people, the grassroots, are growing their own food, bringing the neighbor back into the hood, taking care of each other and beginning to create a kind of community that was not possible during the years when there were lots of jobs and when industry was expanding. So it's a whole new way of looking at life and the future.
Grace Lee Boggs, philosopher, author, civil rights activist. The new book is called The Next American Revolution, Sustainable Activism for the 21st Century. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad to be here, Sutliff.
That's the first part of our series, In Our Experience. You can get more of Grace Lee Boggs by checking out the video of the entire interview on video at thetakeaway.org. And we're looking for your wisdom. What have you learned in your years? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And if you are not quite 80 or 90 years old yet, you can use new technology to interview those who are. We have an assignment for the iPhone app. Use the iPhone app to ask two questions to your elders. What keeps you going? What's the most important thing I'll need to know at your age? Check it all out at thetakeaway.org.
Or they can ask them any questions.
Yeah.
I mean,
but get video of it and snap a picture.
Yeah. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.